There are two kinds of pity. One, the weak and sentimental kind, which is really no more than the heart's impatience to be rid as quickly as possible of the painful emotion aroused by the sight of another's unhappiness. That pity, which is not compassion, but only an instinctive desire to fortify one's own soul against the sufferings of another. And the other, the only one that counts, the unsentimental but creative kind, which knows what it's about and is determined to hold out, in patience and forbearance, to the very limit of its strength and even beyond. A bit pretentious, beginning a monologue by quoting a late 1920s Austrian novelist and playwright, but so is using the word behest, which is what I'll do in about 20 seconds' time. But the quote is relevant. It's not just there to make me seem smarter than I am. Though, incidentally, part 1A, I live an incredibly unhealthy lifestyle, but because I'm aware of it, that makes it all okay. But it would explain a lot of my current issues. I've recently decided to start eating better, at the behest, see, of someone who shall here remain nameless. So I currently have a tuna salad thing in front of me, to eat after I finish this recording, like a reward, a terrible and disgusting reward. And as much as I like to, you can't just live off a diet of chicken wraps and Pepsi Max. Believe me, I've tried. So trying to find foods that are both socially acceptable for a 26-year-old man-child to eat, slash aren't slowly killing me from the inside, and foods that don't cause flare-ups has been an interesting journey, to say the least. I'm still going to ignore what the Crohn's Disease website advises on what to eat during a flare-up. Firstly, because I'm a very smart man who makes good life decisions. And secondly, because bananas, rice and applesauce isn't a diet. That's a list of ingredients. Oh yeah, I have Crohn's Disease, and this is what this monologue is about. Probably should have mentioned that before I started. Part 1B. Don't take medical advice off random strangers on the internet. This is just generally good advice, and also specific to what you're listening to now. I'm not an expert on Crohn's disease, I'm not actually an expert on anything, and neither are those anonymous commenters on that medical board you've been reading either. Obvious point, but if you have Crohn's disease, or any other medical condition for that matter, speak to a fully qualified doctor, and not just someone online who decided to call themselves a doctor just because they felt like it. And don't Google your symptoms. You will end up misdiagnosing yourself with a rare tropical disease which is only found in one specific small island, or something equally terrible and unlikely. Part 2. What is Crohn's disease and other things I wish I didn't know? Crohn's disease is an inflammatory bowel disease, or an IBD for short, which is about as pleasant as it sounds. It's not the same as IBS. Some people get annoyed when other people mistake one for the other, because they're very different. Which is fair enough, I guess. Though they do share similar symptoms, and have similar abbreviations, and affect similar parts of the body. But what is Crohn's disease really? This is the description that the NHS provides. Crohn's disease is a lifelong condition in which parts of the digestive system become inflamed. There's no cure for Crohn's disease, but treatment can help reduce or control symptoms. Don't Google image search Crohn's disease. Honestly, healthy colons look gross enough as it is. But, if you really must know, imagine pouring marshmallows and tomato soup into a pink tube, shaking it around for 5 minutes, and you won't be far off. Anyway, Crohn's being the considerate disease that it is, tailors its symptoms for the specific individual, so everyone gets to have their own unique experience, which sort of means there isn't any advice, solutions or information that fits all. However, in terms of symptoms, there are some which are pretty common. And here are just a few of them. Diarrhea, cramping pains, fatigue, general unwell feeling, weight loss, anemia, strictures, mouth ulcers, arthritis, and eye inflammation. Yeah, no, how's that fair? And leaving the best till last, fistulas, which horrifyingly are described as an abnormal channel connecting one internal organ to another, or to the outside surface of the body. Sort of like an intestinal wormhole. Oh, something increased risk of bowel cancer. And so yeah, Crohn's disease, while you can technically die from it, generally isn't considered fatal. And as many of the websites keep doggedly reassuring me, I can live a long and productive life, which is nice to know. And anyway, statistically speaking, Crohn's disease is no worse for your life expectancy than, say, being unlucky enough to be born in the north of England instead of the south. Not even a joke, just a really depressing fact. Part 3. Trying to make sense of your diet. Why vegetables are your friends, or sometimes they're not, sometimes they are. I don't know, it's all very confusing. Crohn's disease, the condition where you can eat 20 chicken nuggets in one sitting and feel perfectly fine, but eat a single slice of onion and feel like you've eaten a dull blade. Crohn's patients often have what are called trigger foods, foods that trigger symptoms or make them worse. Common ones are spicy foods and dairy products, but there's plenty of others. Some people actually don't have any particular triggers. A good idea is to keep a food diary to see what foods trigger your symptoms. Among many foods, my triggers are onions, in case for some reason you were wondering. Oh, and garlic, beans are another, cabbage, brown bread, spinach, sweet peppers, nuts. Anyway, the point being, it can be difficult to maintain a diet when eating certain foods cause untold agony. And just to be clear, you do actually need to eat a balanced diet. You might find that a big issue is insoluble fibre, which is really hard to digest. It's found in things like seeds, pips, and wheat bran, which can make you want to go to the bathroom more, which can be a problem if you're already constantly going. In any case, you want to speak to your IBD team about your diet, not take dietary advice from any old idiot with a microphone and an internet connection. Part 4, medication and fighting fire with fire. Ever had the desire to be a lab rat? No, me neither. But as it stands, the medication for Crohn's disease are a bit trial and error, with doctors seemingly throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks. Often, it can take a few months to see if a medication even works, which can be a fun wait, and a bit of a downer when you find out after all that time it doesn't work. Also, medications can actually make you feel more sick before they make you feel better, which can, even at the best of times, feel a little counterproductive. Some drugs, like steroids, which have the unfortunate side effect of giving you moon face, are used to reduce the amount of inflammation, whereas others are used to maintain remission. There are constantly new medications becoming available that work better. These can massively improve the life quality of someone with Crohn's disease and keep symptoms at bay, so that would be something hopeful to end on. Part 5, the less than fantastic voyage. Even ignoring the misery that is bowel prep, colonoscopies aren't fun. I guess like most people, I'm not a huge fan of my innards being poked and prodded by strangers under fluorescent lights while lying on a slab, though they do thoughtfully put a monitor so you can watch along as they venture deeper and deeper inside you. It's like watching the world's most distressing home video beam straight from your colon. Luckily, if you get sedated, the whole experience is like having some bizarre dream. But it is one of the best ways of diagnosing Crohn's disease, and to find out what the current state of the disease is. Part 6, how to force a conclusion. Because it's not visible, unless you get really sick, Crohn's disease might seem less serious than other conditions that are visible. You sometimes get reactions from people that seem to think you're making the whole thing up, just for the hell of it. But you look fine, you don't look sick at all. Yeah, well, you haven't seen my insides, because they are a mess. Or asking how I got so skinny, as my weight yo-yos around all over the shop. Well, it isn't diet or exercise, let's put it like that. The complete opposite, though, isn't really helpful either. And bringing us all full circle, most people don't want to feel pitied, surprisingly. Yes, of course, understanding, patience and compassion are all good things, that goes without saying. But pity doesn't do anything for the person receiving it. It's just a way for the holder of the emotion to feel better in themselves, while making the recipient of the pity feel small, weak, and, of course, pitiful. I guess that's sort of the point of this. As I said, while compassion and caring are good, pity isn't. And because I don't want to speak for anyone else here, I'm going to frame this final point in the first person. Life can, like for a lot of people, be difficult. But I don't need people to feel sorry for me. Because, you know, I don't. That's the end of this self-indulgent monologue about pity and Crohn's disease, but mainly the latter. I've been your host, Adam Aspinall. Till next time.